Well, good morning to you again. Open your Bibles to the, who remembers what book we was in before Pastor Carter got back? Book of James, amen? Amen. You knew that, right? Amen. Well, we've been in 1 John with Pastor Carter, and he'll be back next week. But we're going to go back to James. We started in James several weeks back, and we got a little ways into it. And then when Pastor Carter come back, he got into the 1 John, so we're going to go back to James this morning. And before we do that, I just want to say something to you. Do you know God loves you? Amen. We got a good God. And I know a lot of folks come to church, and this is what I hear a lot. Well, when I go to church, I just want to be uplifted. Well, you know, if you're reading anything in between these covers from front to back, it should be uplifting to you. Amen. Now, and I know a lot of us, we don't like to be corrected. We don't like to hear anything, you know, regarding correction. Well, let me say something to you. God loves you. And because he loves you, he's going to correct you. And he's going to do that through his word. And unfortunately, we don't get into it enough. Many of us, we don't read, we don't study, not as we should anyhow. So we don't receive all the correction that we need to receive. So as we get into the book of James or any other book that has anything to do with our correction, we should thank God that we got a God that loves us. Amen. When we was growing up as children, and your mother and your father, they corrected you. Why? Because they loved you. You know, if my mama caught me playing out in the street, when she got through with my backside, I probably wouldn't be back out in the street again tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Well, isn't that the same way with our God? When we're doing things wrong, he wants to correct us, and he uses his word to do that. So when we get into his word, we shouldn't get angry. You know, I mean, I said something about cell phones the other night, and I meant what I said. I think they are the most wicked things that's ever been put on this earth, outside of the devil himself. I mean, they open up everything to your children. You know, so they're just wicked. Well, some people get angry about that. But that's just trying to open your eyes to reality. You know, we being Christians are supposed to be responsible. We're responsible for our children. And sometimes we forget that they're not ours. They belong to God. They're his children, and they're on loan to us. But it's our responsibility to raise these children correctly. And I'm all the time harping on things like that. Why? Because I was 47 years old when God called me into the ministry. Well, I look back raising my family, all the things that I did that was wrong, all the little things, all the little corrections that if I'd have been in God's word would have never happened. I would have been raising my children the way they should have been raised. So it's important to me that you understand. I don't want you to be where I was. And I know most of us in here are grandparents, but you understand it's the same thing when your grandchildren, come to see you for that 1 week or 2 weeks that they might come visit you. It's important that they see Christ in you. It's important that they see you different from the rest of the world. You should be setting the example above all. And we can't do that if we don't know and understand what's right and wrong in ourselves. So we have to first get into the Word of God. We have to get the Word of God in us so that we can hand that down to our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren. They need the same guidance that you and I need. And they're going to get it from us. And folks, if they don't get it from us, let me ask you this. Where are they going to get it? The world's not going to give it to them. I mean, look at our government. Look where it's at today. It's so sad. Brother Burt was just talking about out in California, going to cut the electricity off. It's so hot out there. But they want to stop selling gasoline cars and plug in some more electric cars. Think about how ludicrous that is. These are the people that are trying to lead your children and your grandchildren. They don't have any common sense among them. I mean, they're basically a bunch of idiots walking around. Educated people. Educated. So, folks, we shouldn't be that way. And when God is trying to correct us, we should take that correction and run with it. Grab a hold to it. Let it get into you, the little things that we do wrong. Because every little thing matters. Everything starts small, doesn't it? A lot of things start with a thought. And it grows from that point and turns into bad and dangerous sin. But folks, we have to correct ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the book of James, or when I get over into Timothy or Peter or anywhere I read in there, anything to do with the church or anything to do with myself that's right or wrong, and I find something that I'm doing that's against what God wants me to do, I don't get angry. If I get angry, I get angry at me for not knowing that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Why would I get angry at God? God loves you. He died a horrible death on the cross of Calvary to save you and I from the sins of this world. And then we want to get angry at a God that died for us, because that's what we do. When you get angry at a preacher or anybody that's up here trying to teach you the correctness of the things, the ways of the world, and you're angry, it's God that you're angry with. Because you don't want to be corrected. You don't want to take the truth and live upon it. You want to live in your own little reality. And folks, that's not what God wants. And he's going to keep trying to correct us. And when we get into the book of James here, James was worried about the doctrinal purity of the church. You know, as the church grows, it brings with it, every time you take in members in this church or any other church, and you're bringing in, you might say, the luggage. You're bringing their luggage into the church house. And folks, that's why we teach the same things over and over and over and over. Repetition. You know, God hadn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. So we're going to keep teaching this. I don't need a new Bible. I don't need a new edition. I don't need either. All we need is the old King James. And just keep on keeping on teaching the truth and standing on the truth. That's where we need to be today. So with all that said, and get back into the book of James, I think we had gotten up to about, I don't know, I think we got through verse 15. But if you're like me, if I'd read this yesterday, I need to refresh my mind today. And I'll have to refresh my mind again tomorrow. And that's why we're supposed to be in the Word of God. And I know that you need to refresh your minds, because when I asked if anybody knew what book we was in, I didn't hear not one voice holler out, James! Because if anybody knew, they'd have hollered that, right? So we're all in the same boat this morning. None of us remembered. So we'll go back to the beginning. And in the first few verses of James, let me find my notes here so I don't get us all messed up here. I'll be off somewhere where I shouldn't be. First of all, the book of James is written, he is Jesus' half-brother. Now, you know, James didn't even get saved until after the resurrection. He was a non-believer. So it's okay to be a non-believer late in life, amen? I mean, think about that. Living with the Lord Jesus and not believing. Well, you know, a lot of us today, we have all the history of Christ, and we still walk around and don't believe. It's sad. But it was written to the 12 tribes. They've been scattered abroad. It was a great time of persecution on the church. So they've been scattered all over the place. And even so, the church is still growing. God has a way of taking bad and turning it into good, doesn't he? So even though the church was scattered, it was growing. And this is why James is worried about the doctrinal purity of the church. As it grows, and like I just said, every time you take on a new member, you're taking on that luggage or whatever denomination or whatever beliefs that person had before they were saved. Now think about that. You and I, before we were saved, we believed in something. Some people said, well, I was an atheist. Well, then you believed that there was no God. You believed in something. So whatever it is that you believe, you bring with you. And if you don't believe that, look at yourself today. We're still struggling with Christianity because of our beliefs. Rather than just letting go of everything, it's kind of like remember that old story the preacher was telling about the monkey over in Africa? That's the way we are. You take how do you catch monkeys over there? They put food in the jar. And the old monkey will reach his hand in there and grab that food. Now you got him, because he won't let go of that food to get his hand out the jar. Well, see, we're the same way with some of our beliefs. We've got our hand down in that jar, and we've got a hold to a belief, and we won't turn it loose. We want to hang on to that belief. Well, that's what we got to do, folks. We got to turn loose of the old stuff. We got to get rid of all the ungodly things. We got to let go of all those impurities. And we got to grab a hold to what God has got for us in His church. And that's what we need to remember. It's not our church. It's His church. It's His law. You know, when it comes to opinions, God gives us His opinion in His book, and He really don't care what ours is. You know, our opinion doesn't mean anything. It's only what God has for us. So James, like I said, James is concerned for the purity of the church. And today we're dealing with the same things today. There's nothing different. Every time somebody walks in here, walks out and gets saved and they join the membership of this church, they're bringing in that old luggage with them. So then that's, like I said before, that's why we teach the same things over and over and over. I know sometimes it becomes redundant to us. We say, well, I've heard that 1,000 times, and you're going to hear it 1,000 more times. Because there's people who just got saved and they're babes in Christ and they need to learn. So we shouldn't be upset about repeating something. I don't know about you, but I like to have it repeated. It does me good because I can't remember it from day to day sometimes. And we keep repeating. We keep repeating. I can go back and read this same chapter over and over. And every time I read it, I find something new. I find something that I missed the first time. And I've asked myself, how do you miss that? How did you not see that? It's the living word, amen? We're going to find something new every time we go through it. You know, we study through the book of Revelations. That's a good example when you're studying through the church history. You know, you start at the first church and you go all the way through to the Laodicean church. And every church age brings with it a little bit of the last church age, didn't it? Until we get to the Laodicean church age that we're in today, the last church age. But you see a little bit of all of the church ages in this church age. So it's the same thing. We bring our luggage with us all through the church age. And it's no different today. We're going to keep doing the same things over and over and over. So anyhow, that's the first few verses of the Bible, or the first few verses of James. I'm trying to keep up with my notes this morning. I get off track. I make them, then I never use them. And I end up teaching everything but except for what I wanted to. So the first 5 verses in the book of James is speaking of joy when we fall into temptations. Think about that. When you fall into temptations and you having issues and problems, it's kind of hard to see the joy side of it. It's hard to keep your joy, isn't it? But you know, God don't want us to remain children all the time. God wants us to grow, not just stay as children. So think about this. If He didn't allow any temptations into your lives, if he just put His hands out there and blocked you off where you were just protected from everything all the time, how would you grow? You know, as children, we grow, we learn every day through our trials and temptations that we go through. It's the same thing in the Christian life. In order for us to learn, we have to have issues. Then you know, there's no mountains, no tops without valleys, is there? You got to have both. So that's what the first few verses of this goes through. Then we get to verse 5 through 8. We're told to ask for wisdom, and we're told to pray in faith. Well, if we're lacking wisdom, we're supposed to ask God for it. And this is our problem. When you talk about the wisdom, then we talk about the faith. Well, folks, when we pray and we don't believe what we're asking for, what does God tell us? God tells us there's no need in asking. Why are you even asking for something if you don't believe God's going to even give it to you? You know, we go all the way back to where Peter was led out of jail. Remember that story when Peter was locked up? And remember the church was gathered together and the church is praying for Peter? Then he comes out and he's knocking on the door, and the damsel answers the door. And when she recognizes that it's Peter's voice, she didn't even believe it. She went back and they was astonished. And the church says she's mad. Woman, you're crazy. It can't be Peter. He's in prison. And the whole time they was all gathered and they was praying for Peter. So what does that tell us about their prayer life? They didn't believe that God was going to answer their prayers. He answered them anyway. Yeah, I believe He answered them for our sakes, didn't He? We can look back and we can look back at that story and we can see that God answers prayer. And we have so much evidence of that. But yet today, we still pray in unbelief. And why do we do that? We pray in unbelief because our life, we're not where we need to be with our God. You know, when Sister Rodriguez was just singing about, he's mine. Is he yours? I mean, think about that. We're his, but is he ours? See, that's a personal relationship. That's where you make him your God. You make him your Lord. You put him first in your life. You put him at the head where he belongs. And that's how we grow in Christ. And our faith will grow likewise. Folks, when I go out visiting, I mentioned this the other night. When I go out visiting and somebody that's been in church for 20 years, been saved for 40 years supposedly, been, you know, or some of them might be 2 years. But I ask them, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And they said, well, I hope so. Folks, we don't have a hope-so salvation. We have a no-so salvation. And it's sad. It bothers me that when people is in here all the time and they're getting the gospel constantly. But see, that's faith. That's because we're still little children. We haven't grown enough that our faith is strong enough. Folks, we shouldn't have that attitude. And I'm telling you, this is where we need to get disconnected from the world and get plugged into our God. Because this is what happens when we're not corrected or we don't live corrected. We hear it, we let it go in this ear, let it flow out this ear. And rather than taking the correction and doing what God is telling us to do, we continue on in our regular daily routines, in our daily lives. Just like with the televisions and with these smartphones. We're adding all this garbage into our heads every day. When you turn that smart box on and you're looking at that thing all day long, you're feeding this garbage into your head. Your brain's like a computer. What does a computer know? Only what's been put into it. It's a piece of equipment. It only knows what somebody programmed into the computer. Your brain is the same way. Every day you're programming, you're programming, you're programming. Well, what are you programming into your mind? Are you programming the things of God? Or are you programming worldly things? And then we look at our lives and then we don't understand why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this issue? Why am I going through this problem? Why am I having to deal with this? Why is my child over here doing this? Folks, a lot of us have children. I'm guilty. I look back now at my child and I can see things that they're doing that breaks my heart because I know what the results will be. I know how wrong it is, but yet I can only blame myself because it's the way I raised them. It's the things that I allowed into their lives when they were younger. We can't always shelter our children from everything. Sooner or later, they have got to go out into this world and face reality. But we need to give them the tools to do so. They need to have in their mind and in their heart God's word. So that every situation that they come upon, there's an answer from their God. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And it's through God's word that we achieve that. Folks, I still struggle. I mean, I'm 61 years old, and I still struggle. I mean, I went to the doctor's office, took my mother over there the other day. And you know me, it's a struggle. Because the first thing they want you to do is put a mask on. No, it's not going to happen. So immediately, they're angry with me because I won't put a mask on. And my mother, if I don't wear a mask, she's not going to wear a mask, you know. And as big as she is, that makes a statement, right? I mean, when a woman that size comes in there, you're going to keep quiet, right? She's about this tall, weighs about 70 pounds, 73 pounds. But so when the doctor come in, the doctor was angry just when she walked in the door. She had an attitude because we didn't have a mask on. We didn't adhere to their rules. You know, we didn't jump in their little fantasy land and go along with them. It's been proven, folks, it's been proven the masks don't work. Third grade science, it does not work. And I'll tell everybody, if you don't believe me, come to my shop out back. We'll take a can of spray paint and some cardboard. You put on four masks if you want to. And we'll paint that cardboard. And we'll take your mask off and see what color your nose is. And that's with paint. So what's it going to do with a microorganism? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're just fooling themselves. They're hung up in this world. They're stuck in the things of this world. I don't know about you, but when COVID come around, I mean, I caught COVID. I mean, I didn't want COVID no more than you. I didn't want COVID no more than the flu. But folks, are you worried? Are you really worried that worried about if you're going to die today? See, I have Jesus right here. And if I die today, it's nothing but good. It's nothing but good. What am I leaving behind? You know, I mean, think about it. We're going to leave the world for glory. Folks, we got to get a mindset. We need to change something. We talking about woke America? Yeah, we need to wake up all right, but not the way they're talking about. We need to get our heads out of the dirt and our head out of the sand, stop burying our heads, and we need to look at reality. We need to look at things the way God wants us to look at things. Folks, what's wrong with America today? Yeah, we're not woke, we're asleep. There's no doubt about that. The Christians are asleep. There ought to be a cry across this land like we've never seen since Goshen. My soul, the things that's going on today in this world, and the Christian and the church is silently just sitting back. That's why we need correction. That's why we need to know what is our stand. Where do we belong in this society? Folks, because we're Christian, God says to turn the other cheek, no doubt. He didn't say to roll over in a hole and crawl in it. You know, we're supposed to be Christians. You know, just because we don't fight the way they fight, we can still fight. We still have a voice. We still matter. I'll tell you the way I feel about everything. I know some people won't go to the beach and won't go fishing because there might be a girl there in a bikini. I mean, I don't know. It might be one at Walmart. I don't know. But this is the way I feel about it. God made that beach for me. That's who he made it for. He made it for his people. Okay, I have to share it with them. So my wife and I go down and go fishing. It's been a long time. It's been years since we've been down there. But it never bothered me. We went fishing. That's what we went. We went there to have a good time with each other and go fishing. It's the way you perceive everything. And the way we're perceiving things today, folks, we need some correction. And that's all James is doing here. And then we get to verses 9 through 11. He speaks of the poor and the rich. The poor is exalted. Praise God. We may be poor in this world, but once we're saved and born again, we're a child of the King. It doesn't get any higher than that, baby. We're the child of the King. Think about that. And he's talking about the rich. The rich is tore down a little bit here because they think they're high. But once they get, if they're born again, you know, they're just like you and I. And they're going to die just like you and I. And a little bit of reality sets in there. But folks, you need to think about that. A child of the King. That's us, the believers. It doesn't get any better than that. We shouldn't walk around like losers. Amen. Yeah, I get so many Christians are so sissified anymore. It really irks me. No matter where you go out to eat supper and you're scared to pray. Every once in a while, you see one bow their head and whisper over there. Pray like you mean it. Let the world know that you're praying. Let the world know that you're asking for God's blessing upon your food. God give it to you, our King. And we're a child of the King. We should be proud of who we are. I don't know about you, but I rejoice in the fact that me, a nobody, was born again and I'm a child of the King. The God of heaven, the creator of all things. That's my God. That is my Father. Folks, we should be so proud of that. We should let that shine in our lives. Everybody on this fake planet Earth should be able to see Christ in us. But we're so far away from the things of God that they don't see God in us. Sadly, you can't hardly tell the Christian from the lost person anymore. They dress the same, talk the same, watch the same things on TV. Everything's the same. And folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But that's because we don't want to accept correction. We don't want to take it. We want to heap to ourselves teachers What's it say with we have itching ears? Yeah, we just want to hear what we want to hear. If we don't, if we hear something that we don't like, instead of taking it as a correction and correcting what I'm doing wrong, we want to get mad at God about it. Or we want to be mad at the preacher about it. Why did he say that? Why is he talking to us like that? Because you need it. Folks, everything I say to you, guess who I'm saying it to first? Me. Dr. Bradley told us when we was in school. I'll never forget it. Dr. Bradley said, if you teach and preach on your own faults, you'll never run out of anything to teach or preach. God bless him. He's been right. I can look back, and the more I learn and the more I study, the more I realize how bad I am. Just how rotten we are as people. We're rotten to the core, folks. It doesn't get it. I'm as bad as anybody. And the Bible teaches us anyhow that if we break one little law, one little sin that we bring into our lives, we're guilty of what? All of them. We're guilty of every single sin. So we're not supposed to look on somebody else. We're not supposed to look at them lower or higher. We're supposed to look at everybody in the same regard, aren't we? And then we get to verses 12 through 15. We learn that we're tempted of our own lust. So many times we want to blame God for things that come into our lives. Folks, we're tempted from our own lust. It could be a thought that starts to process. But it's things in our lives. That's where the temptation is. It's in us. It's there. It's there for everybody. You pick up that smart box. Guess what? It's your decision what you do with it today. When you turn it on, it's your decision what you're going to look at. Are you going to use it for good? It can be used for good. I'll tell you the truth. I enjoy picking it up and looking up something that I'm looking for. It takes me about 14 seconds to find something that would take you 2 hours otherwise. Especially with computers. I'm not good with computers. I'm slow with them. I can just talk to this thing and it'll, boop, right there it is. That's good. I enjoy that. But outside of that, it's not good. There's a lot of wicked stuff on there. But it's still your decision. Every time you turn it on, a temptation is big, but it's your decision. And then that brought us to verse 16. And I think that's where we'll pick it up, right there in verse 16, chapter 1. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren. And look at the very next verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Folks, I think he's trying to tell us that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. God doesn't change. He's going to be the same always. Right here is the change. Right here is the problem. We don't always see things the way we ought to see them, do we? We see things the way we want to see them sometimes rather than what they really are. But we need to remember that we've got a God that is unchanging. He's never going to change. And folks, everything in your life that's good, regardless of what it is, if it's good, it comes from God. Now, let me tell you what a lot of us do. Now, I'll just touch bases on something else. Around here, we don't clap in church, okay? I know, I've had people, how come they don't clap? They're just dull. Them people, you think they'd be excited. Oh, we're excited. But this is what happens when you clap. Some young lady comes down here, and she's going to sing for us this morning, or young man, or group, or whatever. And we go to clapping. But praise God, you're so good. Who are you uplifting? Them. No. See, that's not right. Well, they're good. Yep, they sure are. Excellent. Why? Because God gave them the ability. If you don't believe that, I'll sing for you. He didn't give me any. I'll tell you right now. Okay? He didn't give me any of that ability. Okay? So you could clap for me. All right? Yeah, that'd be all right. But what we're doing is we're stealing God's glory. Folks, we don't need to do that. We don't need to uplift ourselves. We are here this morning for what reason? Why did we come to church this morning? Just because it's part of our routine, that's what we're supposed to do on Sunday mornings, go to church. No, we're supposed to be here to learn something this morning. We're supposed to be here to be fed from the Holy Spirit this morning. And when these folks come in here to sing this morning, they're here to sing praises to our God. We're uplifting our God. That's what we're doing this morning when we're singing. When we sing as a congregation, we're singing praises to our God. And that's why it upsets me when you don't sing. You say, well, I can't sing. I can't either. I just told you, I can't sing a lick. But I'm going to sing. I'm not singing to you. How you like that? I'm singing to my God. And when it gets to heaven, it goes through Jesus. Boy, he thinks it's so good. It's so sweet to his ears. No matter how bad we are here, it's good when it gets there. Amen? Folks, we need to remember all good things belong to God. There's no good in us. Everything we have is as filthy rags. There is no good in us. It's all about God. And when we get things into perspective the way it ought to be, we have a better outlook on everything that's going on around us. That's why we don't clap in church. Because we're not trying to steal God's glory. When that young lady or that young man gets up here and sings, we amen. Praise God that God has given that person the ability to raise their voice to heaven. That's what we do. We're not interested in raising one another. We're not interested in lifting each other. That's not our point. That's not why we're here this morning. Now, do we lift each other? Sure we do. We're supposed to praise one another. We're supposed to tell each other that we're good and keep it going and keep struggling, you know, keep fighting and do right for the Lord. But that's not why we're here this morning. We're here this morning to uplift God. Every bad thing comes from us right here. Rotten to the core. I hear so many, I've heard, especially when I was younger. You remember back, some of you about my age when we was growing up, had t-shirts and all kinds of things, bumper stickers, and what did they say? The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. That's a good excuse, but no, he didn't. You did it on your own. It was your decision. It was part of the temptations that you gave into. You know, we give the devil way, way too much credit, folks. He's not like God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. Sorry, it doesn't happen that way. He's not that good. He wishes he was, but he's not. That's where he wants to be. Okay? But he's not. So let's not give the devil more than he deserves, because he doesn't deserve that much. He's not that good. All right? Where were we at? Verse 18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that he should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Praise God. Can you imagine that? Out of all his creatures, we're going to be the first fruits. Amen. Man, have you ever thought about that? God saved us. You and I, that's special. Out of all of his creatures, he has chosen us. Folks, that's special. That makes us somebody, doesn't it? Well, we ought to be just so proud of that. And sometimes we just live defeated lives. People, we ought to be smiling every day. You know, I worry about my mother. My mother's sick right now, fighting blood pressure problems. I worry about her. You know, she's 84 years old. The Lord could take her home today. That's his decision. Am I going to be mad at God about it? No. Folks, she's going to a better place. She's going to a good place. So am I going to be upset? It's going to break my heart. Why? Because I'm going to miss her. But I have the joy of knowing that I'm going to see her again. And it's not going to be that long, one way or the other. Either the rapture's coming or I'm going there to be with her. And either way, it's not going to be very long. Folks, this is the attitude that we need to take. And this is the reason we have correction. And that's as far as we're going to get today. But in the book of James, as we move through this, everything James is teaching us, we already know. He just has to correct our mind. Wake us up a little bit. Shake us around a little bit. Say, look, this is where you belong. And you're allowed to read ahead. You can read ahead if you want to. You know, we're going to get into chapter 2 pretty quick. And once we get into chapter 2 there, we're going to be seeing where people get work salvation from. I love that part of the book. But here again, he's trying to teach us something. You know, and I spoke about it a little bit Wednesday night before last and told you I kind of mess your head up a little bit and get you all twisted. And I think I accomplished that. That's what I was trying to do. Why? Because I wanted to make you study. Make you get in the Word and read it to see what God says. Folks, we need to know. We need to put it right here. And I don't know about you. The more I read it, the more I love my God. And the more you study, the more you learn, the better Christians we become. And it's a struggle out here. I fight with it every day, and I know you do too. So it's important that we understand what we're supposed to be as Christians, as believers of the faith. Amen? Well, I'm out of time. Let me get the Sunday school count this morning. Okay, 724 total. Amen. That's pretty good. And we're going to take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back for the preaching service.